to this story, the beggar with no hands, in order to heal the princes, he has to know the 10 types of pulse, because his hands have power to transmit wisdom to all appointed leaders in the world. It is necessary to know the spiritual malice and decline of each individual. Bring another chair over here. So this tzaddik was curing the queen, trying to kick the queen out of the 10 floors of where she has been captured inside the water. The meaning of diagnosing the pulse of the princess, the souls of the Israel, is implied by the verse in Yeshua, Kach lecha et Yeshua ish asher ruach bo esamachted yotko aleh. So we see in this pasuk two items that are mentioned in the story. The first item is asher ruach bo, which is the tzaddik has ruach. He's able to explain to all his students how to come close to God, and also samachted yotko aleh. It's written in the story that the betler who had no hands, he was able to take the woman out of the water without any hands. And this is the inyan of samachted yotko aleh. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was passing away, he was giving over his hanagah, his manigut, to all Am Yisrael, to Yeshua. He's going to be the new manig of Am Yisrael. He was soymich his hand on him, like we do, it's a mitzvah every Lel Shabbos, to bless all your children. To say, Yisimcha Elokim Kefraim Yonashir Varechacha, and the whole bruch of the Kohanim. You should bless all your children by putting two hands on the head. It's one of the Dinyan Barizam. Also, for all the children to give their hands to the mother to kiss them. It's written in Kisri Arizal. It's a big Dinyan in a Lel Shabbat. What is this smichas yadayim? Moshe laying on the hands corresponds to the beggar's power to transmit wisdom through his hands. And this is the meaning of man with whom there is ruach, donating someone who knows how to respond to the ruach of each individual. What is the koach of a manager, a head of an organization? What does he have that no one else has in that organization? Or that kilah, he knows the ruach. He's able to understand each one of his disciples and go to his ruach. Sometimes disciple, he's asking a question and he means something else. So the rabbi should know what his student is talking about. He doesn't say it explicitly. Like you have a child sometimes, you know, these babies, they can't even talk. They're shouting and crying. You have to know that they want them to change their diapers, or they're very hungry to eat. The mother knows exactly what the child needs. Also, the rabbi, the real rabbi of every student, knows what his student needs. He's able to go by the ruach of each one of his students to respond to the ruach of each individual. This is by knowing the pulses, which are aspect of the ruach, he knows all their deficiency and illnesses. This is also what happens when a person's pulse is taken. The blood is the nefesh of a person. The blood, what is nefesh? Nefesh is the ruach, the same thing. The air goes inside the lungs and goes inside the heart and combines the air with the blood, which goes through the body. And a person, a rabbi or a doctor, can touch the pulse and understand all the illnesses of the person, and how to bring about their healing, to transmit the tikkun of joy to them through the 10 types of melody. The 10 types of melody also, why my son, when he's learning clarinet, he puts on this instrument, which is like a drum, it beats steadily. Yeah. So he knows exactly how to play the clarinet, because you need the melody, you need something control the melody.
Rhythm,
right. Warning, kingdoms, the Rebbe's words must be always understood on both a cosmic and individual level in all aspects. This is particularly true of this story. When a person learns the Kuti Moran, our friend here, he went through the story of the Shiva Betlers. It was very hard for him to understand it, but it's written for every Jew in the world. It's not only written for geniuses. Even the Chiddush Yarim said he didn't understand the story of the Sheva Betlers, but this story is written for every Jew, and he was going to now learn what is this applicable to Chag HaPesach. In this story, you can learn a number of general themes that are applicable for every Jew in every generation. In the cosmic sense, the princess represents the severity of holiness. We're talking about the Bas Malka. This is the root of all souls. She's the Knesset Yisrael, the root of all worlds. The reason that God created souls and worlds was to reveal His sovereignty, especially through the humble creature man. The evil king who captured the princess represents this sovereignty of evil. This is the Malach HaMovis, the Yetzer Hara. This king wants to conquer every Jew. The latter is elucidated from the dregs of the formerly killed who died in the beginning of the world, before the whole world was created. There was the Sheva Malachim who were killed. You heard about that? Kabbalah, you have to know this. Before the world was created, there were seven. There were seven killed, seven kings who passed away. The first one came, Chesed, it's actually a Mahoikis, Kisvei Arizal, if Das, it could be, you're right, that Das also was killed. But we'll talk about the normal way of learning this story.
Now,
the
this,
king,
this is before the,
this course, course the creation of the world. Before the world was created, there was no earth. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu created these seven kings. It's written in Vayishlach, in Parshas Vayishlach and Bereshis. The end of the whole Parsha, there's a story about these seven kings. This one started reigning, was killed. Another king came, until came Melech Hadar was the eighth king. He mentioned about the eighth king who came to Mitakan all the seven kings. And his name was Hadar. He had a wife. None of the previous seven kings had wives. All these seven Malachim were killed, and they came, how were they killed? Because Chesed, he was the first king who came to rule on the world. He said, I will take over the world, because he was an egoist. He thought he himself could do it alone without anyone else. He was killed just like all the other kings, and only when Melech Hadar came, he had a wife. At least he had a wife. Then he knew that he needed to make a staff, make a Knesset, make a parliament, in order to advise them how to continue the world. He could continue the world only with advice of other people. You can't rule the world yourself. So the reason that God created souls and worlds was to reveal His sovereignty. The evil king captured the princes. Yeah.
From there, there's the idea in Kabbalah that we don't have, we're not the first world, that there's like the Shemitah of the years, there's also Shemitah of universes.
Exactly. Next year, Tushin Ayin Hei is going to be Shemitah.
Yeah.
So in Shemitah, we don't say Tikkun Chatzot. There's some people who do say, but there's a machloket with the Kabbalah, you say Tikkun Chatzot or not. The old land, in you have Moshavim, Koman Miyut, you have all these Moshavim and Kibbutzim who will not work on the land on Shnat Shemitah. So you have this also with the kings who were abolished. The king who was able to come back as Olam HaTikun, the Taken, all the worlds that were destroyed, he was able to lead the world because he married a wife. And what does this have to do with us? You know, we talk about all the things that happened before the creation of the world. What does it have to do with us? So the answer is, says the Rizal, is after the destruction of these seven kings, there are 288 nitzotzot, sparks, that we as Jews and have to raise up that fell into all parts of the world. Says the Baal Shem Tov, all of a sudden a person sees that he had to go to some sort of traveling to some part of Israel, Tveria, Tzfat, Miron. Sometimes he even has to go over broad. I had to make a trip to Dallas, Texas. He doesn't even know why he's going there on a plane with no other Jews at all. And I'm going there to visit my parents. They live there. But sometimes a person thinks, why did I decide to go here? This is crazy. You should know, wherever a person goes, it's Ashgacha Pratit from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, according to the Baal Shem Tov, that he has to go to a certain place to bring up these divine sparks that were that only one Jew, says Rav Nissim in Kuti Alofas, only a Jew who goes there, he can raise up these divine sparks that even were inside of a table or a wall. Sometimes the divine sparks, the soul of a Jewish person, is inside the fish. Why do we eat fish four times on Shabbos? The three meals and also Malava Malka. Why do we eat fish? Because inside the fish is some sort of Jewish soul that a simple Jewish person, anyone, even a child, can eat from this fish on Shabbos. The Kovod Shabbos Kodesh eats this fish and he's able to metaken tikkunim, that this soul that was inside of the fish, he was there for how many knows years, and he's given a tikkun by a Jew who eats him on Shabbos.
It's a very common thing to come back in as a fish.
It's very common thing to be reincarnated.
Reincarnated
exactly where,
we don't know. Something special.
We don't know. But fish, dag is seven. The matri is seven for Shabbos. So the Hasidim say, I think it's even before the Hasidim. I think as a makor, a very far back before, that a person should eat fish on the four suddas on Shabbos. You should try to eat some fish. If he doesn't have good fish, his wife doesn't cook for him for good fish, he should at least have gefilte fish or sardinim or a tuna. Sometimes, one time in Shavuos in Uman, and a person from Na'ana Nachman, I didn't have any fish. He wanted to give me a piece of fish. But he says, don't forget to say, Na'ana Nachman Uman, and then I'll let you eat the fish. Raz Brenner, you heard about this Tzadik Rav Brenner?
Mm-hmm.
He says a person has to go to the army. They want to take him in the army. Sometimes our sons now, they want to take all the boys in the army, even if they're learning in yeshivas. If he will say, Na'ana Nachman Uman, he'll repeatedly saying it, the Rebbe will definitely come to his aid. This is like a joke, that it has a good meaning inside that joke. But the Rebbe will really help a person. He won't have to go to the army. Anyway, we'll come back to the story here. The evil king who is captured, the princess represents the sovereignty of evil. The latter is elucidated from the dregs of the primordial king who died. They regrouped, leaving 288 sparks. From these dregs are sparks, and the klipas of the sitra achra come forth, klipot that compromise the sovereignty of the evil. The sitra achra is personified in the story as the evil king. The sovereignty of the evil constant wants to overcome the sovereignty of the holiness. What is the job of the malach hamodes? What is the job of the yetzora, the sitra achra? To take over the kedusha. They want to conquer us. They want to put us to sleep. They want to danger our souls, danger the organs in our body. They want to do whatever they can to make a religious Jew not religious and to get away from Judaism. We mentioned yesterday one of the biggest powers of the Sitra Achra, the Yetzer Hara, is to give a person depression. And I think you can't find a person on this earth who doesn't have depression one time in his life. And we see it much more percentage the person is depressed than he's happy. This comes from the Sitra Achra. This comes from the Malach HaModes, the Yetzer Hara. What do we have to do? Fight against it. Mizmor L'Toyde, it's written Meforash in the Shulchan Aruch. When you say Mizmor L'Toyde every day, sing it, be happy. It's Allah in the Shulchan Aruch. Because Mizmor L'Toyde will be, in the end of days, we're going to conquer the Yetzer Hara, we're going to shoychet him, and that's really the Mizmor L'Toyde. This is the biggest thanks we can give to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we're shechting the Yetzer Hara. So every day we say Mizmor L'Toyde for the small thanksgiving we have to give to Hashem for every little. Every day we're a miracle. We're still putting on tefillin and we're still religious Jews. It's a miracle because there's so many forces coming against us that it's simply a miracle that we're religious Jews. At the beginning of the creation, the earth was tohu vavohu. We know what tohu vavohu means.
Without form.
Without form. Utter chaos. Utter chaos. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. This describes the original worlds, the original spirit of Tov, which was shattered, the destruction, all what I'm reading now is the Kuti Alokas, translated into English. The destruction empowered of the severity of evil in Rav Nachman's story is the evil king with 10 types of arrows. To avoid being overcome by the evil king, the princes fled into the water, the face of the deep. The spirit of God fluttered over the face of the water. Now he's explaining this whole story according to Maisa Bereishis. What's written in Maisa Bereishis? Ruach Elokim. Says the Zohar, Ruach Elokim means Ruach Shel Mashiach. The face, the spirit of God, that fluttered over the face of the water is the spirit of the Mashiach. The sovereignty of holiness, the sovereignty of the Mashiach, when Mashiach arrives, God's sovereignty will be revealed to all. Shem Yazora will be very, very little time from that. Fluttered merachepet, it's written in the Posuk, merachepet al pnei ha-mayim. What does this mean? Fluttered over the face of the water, alludes to the aspect of the 10 walls of water in this story of the princes, sovereignty of holiness and sovereignty of Mashiach fled. It's the meaning of merachepet. It's like someone who is ill and weak on the verge of expiring, his breath merely flutters. Merachefes has inside of the word rapach. Rapach are the 288 nitzutzes of gedoshes that are lost from the Shvir Soilim. Merachefes has rapach inside of it. Water is the secret of the light of the divine name Amah. There are two names of God in the creation of the world. We mentioned previously the Shvira of the Kelim, the seven Malachim. Who was able to make a tikkun, a rectification on these Malachim? Hashem of God. Hashem of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you fill it in with Aleph, you get to the Shem Ma. Ma Hadash is Metaken Ben. The Shem Ben, which is the name of God, with Hey at the end of it. And you have 52 gematria, the ma'as kam, the metak, and the bit. In regard to spiritual original of four elements, water is the aspect of ma. The Rizal teaches that there are four major archetypes of creation which express themselves in a number of levels. One is, in other words, you have tanta, tagim, nekudas, tagim, yosis. You have four of God's name, av, sag, ma, the bin. And now we're talking about Mava Ben. You also have four worlds. Atsiras, Bria, Yetzirah, Sia. You also have four Yesoidas. You have Eish, Ruach, Mayim, Vafar. This is fire, wind, water, and earth. And you also have Doimin, Somea, Chai, Medaber. The Doimin is silent realm, which includes soil, minerals, water, inorganic matter. So Meach is the plant kingdom. Chai is the animal kingdom. And Medaber is a human being. This is Doimim, Sumeach, Chai, Medaber. The shattering of vessels affected the realm of the divine name Ben. The name is associated with the element of earth. Ben is corresponding to earth. The name is associated with the word Asiyah, which were there, their klipot that have their primary grasp. Klippas are represented by a primordial serpent which eats dust of the earth. It's written in the Kuti Moran that a Jew is able to do masada matan. You can go into business. You can sell what you want. You can buy what you want. You can be a merchant. You can open up a store. But he says it's very dangerous there. Why? We see from this story. It's very dangerous. Why is it dangerous to do business? Because we see a lot of times the klipot attach a person to his business. I know I have business myself with people, and very important, very honorable Jews, they made a lot of mistakes. They went into bankruptcy, they ran away from Israel, they ran away from giving the money back. It's very difficult. So the Rav Nachman says in the Torah, it's better for a person to learn Torah and mitzvahs all day, because there he can do much more birurim, and he doesn't have the danger of getting into attacked by the Sitra Achra and the Yetzer Hara, which comes to attack a person who does Masava Mata, even though he does Masava Matan V'Amunah. And anyway, here we see also in the story, Rav Nissen explains that in the Olam HaSiyah, we're in the Olam HaSiyah now, we eat, we drink, But when we're learning Torah, we come on a higher level. The Yetzirah is Gomorrah. What we're learning now is close to the story of Rav Nachman as Atzilut. If a person knows the secrets of the story, he's learning Kabbalah. He's learning secrets of the creation, which is in the highest level. Following the shattering of vessels, a new light of divine name Ma was revealed. A new light of Ma rectifies the light of Ben that was destroyed. Ma is associated with the element of water that accomplishes the tikkun of Ben, the element of earth. So we see in this story that the water, the whole story is talking about water. We have 10 walls of water. The trees in the story is water. The fruit in the story is water. Everything is water. What does this come to teach us? That water cleanses from all tuma, spiritual pollution. We know it's a minhag of the Baal Shem Tov that a male, every morning you should go to the mikveh. Baal Shem Tov, it's written in the Gemara, it has the sod in the Gemara. Ezra was metakin for a person of Chas V'Shalom, had a semen mission, he had to go to the mikveh. And women, in order to be purified for their husbands, they have to go to the mikveh. But anyway, it's impossible to enter any sacred state without purification and immersion in water. The Kohanim, before they could do, avoiding the base of Mikdash, they had to pour water on their hands and feet.
Ezra set up that Anita has to go to the
Mikvah? Not Anita, a male who had
a mission.
But the Baal Shem Tov says, since we shouldn't see only people going to the Mikvah, but only people who did sins, that every man should go to a mikveh every day, so you won't identify between a person really knows if you mikveh and not. I looked in the halacha, and even on Yom Kippur, a person who had this thing happen to him, to go to a mikveh even on Yom Kippur, but very quietly, no one should know about it. Even on Yom Kippur.
Ben Ishai, so in order to make sure that the tefillot go up better, should go to a mikveh before the shachar later.
Yeah. So the Baal Shem Tov was even more than the Ben Yishai. He said, person should go to the mikveh every day. And Rav Nachman said, when you don't say Tachman, these days now in Nissan, when a person does not say Tachman, you should go to the mikveh. It's even more important to go to the mikveh on the days you don't say Tachman. Because it's even like a holier day. These days of Nissan are holy days than the days in the middle of the year. Kohanim, in the preparation for serving in the Holy Temple, a wife completing a ritual purification process before reuniting with her husband, the Jewish people, when they entered the covenant of giving the Torah, the purification of convert upon adopting Judaism, all attain the purification through water, because water is the aspect of the light of Ma, which rectifies Ben. In Rav Nachman's story, even though the princess had to flee in the water, the evil king shot her with all 10 types of arrows. The severity of evil continues to embolden itself against the severity of holiness. Even after the world of Tikkun emerges following the shattering vessels, the sovereignty of holiness is not fully mended. 288 sparks of holiness still remain in the exile among the Klipot. These fallen sparks empower the Klipot. They are the source of the 10 types of arrows, which correspond to the 10 crowns of impurity, all of which are products of the dross of shattered spirit that come to fore even after the princess of rectification has begun, due to the sparks that remain in Zion among them. There were times when the Chazon Ish was the leader of the Jewish people, and there's an organization, Yad La'achim, that they go out and take people, they take women who are married to Arabs and have children from Arabs, to try to take them out with their children, because they're actually Jewish children, because you go after the mother. They do a lot of things very good for Yiddishkeit. They bring all these people who become moonies, or they go to other sorts of tribes. They get away from Judaism. They do a lot of organization trying to bring them back. So came one of the leaders of Yad La'achim to the Chazon Ish and said, look what we're doing for the Jewish people. So the Chazon Ish looked at him very seriously and said, you should know that all the power you have to bring these people back are from the Jews who are going to the base of Midrash and learning Torah. That's where all the koach from all the Yidin come from, in order that the other Jews will be chozer b'tshuva. Only from the people who are learning Torah day and night in the base of Midrash. So we have to know that learning Torah and doing the mitzvahs is a very high level of mitakin these mitzvahs kedoshis which fell, these rapach mitzvahs that fell away after the shviras came. This is the most important thing. We have in Chabad, when you go to an airport or you go to a bus station, they'll put tefillin on you. This is also very good. But Rabbi Yitzchak Bender, who was one of the great manhigim of Breslev, he would say, Breslev, we're doing it in a different way. We want people to come into us. We want people to come. We don't go out to the airport or the bus station. We want people to come into us, and we'll teach them the teachings of Rabbeinu. That's even a higher level, because in the bus station, a person who once puts on tefillin, it's a fine thing. But we want this guy to put on tefillin every day. We want him really to be chozer b'tshuva, so we are trying to do our kiruv in another way. For this reason, a food that has touched water is successful of becoming spiritually impure. What do we call that? Tameh. Okay? He touched a person who has touched a sheretz. He touches the food. He makes the food tameh. It's forbidden for a kohen to eat it.
Or a corpse.
Yeah. Because tumah is attracted to water. Whenever any process of the tikkun begins, until it totally complete, the klipot always have attack. They become more intensified and very active in order to prevent that tikkun. You see here now.
They attack water because water is naturally spiritual, so that you're drawn to attack.
The higher a person comes in Kedusha, the person has left all his family, he's left all his unreligious friends, whatever. He's going to have a nesoya. He's going to have a trial. Because someone's going to come and say, you really want to be religious? I really want to see if you want to be religious. It's going to happen to him that one day he's going to wake up with all these. I'm not telling you about every person, but a lot of times it happens. A person wakes up with all these doubts. I should do this, I should not do that. If he does not have the way to get out, like to go into the hour of his bodiness, or to go to a big rabbi, or give him a chizuk, he's connected up with important people, he's going to have a trial. How's he going to get out of this trial? This we learn out of the story, that it wasn't enough for one arrow to be thrown at this woman, at this Bas Malka. 10 arrows with poison were thrown on her, and she wasn't killed. She only fell asleep. This is a trial. The sitra achra, the more a person comes close to the Yudusha, the more he comes close to God and whatever, there's going to be on the other side an attack to take him away from that. This is what happened in the story. More intensified and very attractive in order to prevent that tikkun. This may be compared to two combatants. When this one sees that his opponent is gaining the upper hand, he musters all his strength to fight back even harder. This we saw with Yaakov Avinu, with the Malach of this Esav. The angel of Esav was attacking Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu was able to win the war, but what happened? The Malach of Esav took him at Kaf Yerecho. Begin in Oshia. He attacked him on his foot. So whenever you get attacked, this evil force, sometimes a person can be wounded. He'll have some of a wound anywhere in his body or in his mind. What do you have to do for this? You have to make sure that your mind and your das is remain with emunah in the Shem is Borah. The princes escaped from the evil king by taking refuge in the water castle. This corresponds to the splitting of the sea at the time of Exodus. Just as the princess was protected from the evil king by 10 walls of water, so too in the story of Exodus, the water was a wall for the children of Israel. The princess represents the sovereignty and holiness and corresponds to the collectivity of the souls of the Jewish people. The king who captured her corresponds to Paro, the king of Egypt, whose power came from from the Samach Mem, from the Sitrachim himself, the archangel of Egypt, as it is taught in the Kriyas Yamsuf. This holiday of Pesach, the last day of Pesach, is Kriyas Yamsuf. What happened at Kriyas Yamsuf? This was the last fight, which we mentioned before, when the Bas Malka, the Sitrachim, the Malach HaMavis, wanted, was seeing that the queen is going to come back to her father. He's coming back to the Kedusha. The soul, the Jewish soul, is coming back to its source. The Yetzer Hara is going to be fighting its biggest battle. He's going to throw the 10 arrows. This would happen at Kriyas Yamsuf. All of the Jewish people were coming out of Egypt. The last plague was finished. All the Bechorim were killed in Egypt. They're now going to the Dead Sea. The Paro took into the Dead Sea all his jewels and diamonds and gold. He put him on the horses because he was sure he was going to attack the Jewish people and be successful with them. The Kodesh Baruch Hu did a miracle that they were all drowned in the Dead Sea. This is what happened with the bad king who was throwing the arrows and this Bas Malka. We'll see how Rav Nissen explains it here. Presaging the Egyptian exile, Sarah, the wife of Avram, was induced twice. First by Paro and later by Abimelech. Each one of these two incidents reflects the paradigm of the princesses captured by the king. In our story, the evil king, the sovereignty of evil, foresaw that ultimately the princess would rebel against him and murder him. The Samech Mem himself, the Yetzer Hara, knows that he's going to be killed in the end of days. But what is he doing? Until they kill me, I'm going to try my best to do my job. He's going to attack. This is what happened with the Sephardi now in the army. The Memshala here in Israel know they can't take all the boys of the Ashkenazi religious group because they're too strong for them. But what? The Sephardim are very weak. So you see now, there's a lot of literature written how they have attacked on the Sephardi boys, that if they're not strong enough to be religious and to learn Torah, then they're going to take them into the army, and it's a big danger of their Yiddishkeit. So this is the sovereignty of evil.
They're going up the ones that are in the, that are learning too.
No, don't worry about it. They're going to be slaughtered. The evil king, the sovereignty of evil, foresaw they ultimately the princess will rebel against him and murder him. This relates following to two episodes in Sarah's life and the Egyptian exile. First time God struck Paro in his house. What was the nekoma that the Kodesh Baruch Hu did when Sarah was taken in by Paro? He became he had Nagain. They gave him a machala. Yavo Elohim Abimelech b'chalom alayla b'yomar lahini ma'ay alisha asher lakachta. What happened? He became sick. He was unable to have relationships with Sarah Imenu. The Lord appeared to Abimelech in the nighttime dream and said, "You shall die on the account of the woman you have taken." So what do we see? This is the evil king wanted to hold the Jewish people captive because, come let us outwit the nation lest it increase and the wage war against us and go up from the land. This is what happened in the day of Sfiras HaOmer, that 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva passed away in these days, 33 days, like we mentioned yesterday. Why did when they had to be killed? Because they didn't honor each other. They didn't honor each other. They were big Talmidei Chachamim. They knew all the Torah backwards and forwards. They could learn all day and night, but they didn't honor each other. Because they didn't noheg kavod ze lezeh, they had to be killed. And Rabbi Akiva, he was the rabbi who taught the famous all of the Torah on one foot. One said, Hillel, After Recha Kamoicha. This is the theme of Rabbi Akiva. He's trying to teach all his 24,000 students, love your fellow Jew. But they didn't listen to him. Since they didn't listen to him, they had to die. So this is the power of the Yetzer Hara when he makes one Jew hate another guy. He's not acting nice to his other fellow Jew. This is where he's going to be able to hold on to it.
We talked about depression. I know we have, they've created medication for depression to make you feel better. Now, is the medication that they've created the Yetzer Hara?
No. Sometimes a person has to take medication. I had one, I have a son who also had this problem with depression. And there was a psychiatrist who started giving him a medicine which is called Seroquel. You ever heard of Seroquel? And he became very happy, but it was not successful. The best medication is trying to bring him to happiness. Make him do things that he's going to become happy. Learning Torah, learning parts of the Torah, which has a lot of happiness in it. It's very, the Ein Yankov in the Shas, the part of the Agada in the Shas, the Midrashim. There are now lectures, and there are tapes, and there are videos of rabbis who speak very warmly, and their yeshiva is all over now. There are more yeshivas now than there were ever in Klal Yisrael. There's always a way to make a person happy. Sometimes a person gets so bad depression, he has to take medicine. But sometimes the medicine is not successful.
My second question is, why does Hashem create so much sorrow in the world for Jews?
Actually, your question is an answer. You think there's a lot of sorrow, but the real answer is, there's a lot of happiness and there's a lot of success. The Jewish people are the most successful nation in the whole history of the world. But it's just like Lila Seder. What was the famous story that Rav Nachman says about Lila Seder? The non-Jew came in to the Lila Seder, right? So he sees he's talking about Manishtarma, they're making kiddush, they're eating a little karpas. All of a sudden, they don't tell you a dime. They eat the matzah. They make two bruchas on the matzah. Immediately after that, you have to eat more of it. The non-Jew cannot take it. It's too bitter for him. He runs away to say, what was the mistake? The mistake is that they should have told this non-Jew, this is only the beginning of the Seder. Right after that, we eat a little sandwich. We have a big meal. You can drink wine in the middle of the meal also. It's not adding on the koisos. We're going to say halal to the Shem. The non-Jew did not have enough patience to wait. He ran away. This is the nisoyon. We mentioned a few minutes ago, every Jew who's coming close to God is going to have a nisoyon. This is the moral. Are you going to be like this non-Jew and be foolish and run away? Or are you going to say, God, I know this is a trial of loving kindness. You're bringing me these trials and tribulations. Suffer a little bit in order to enjoy a lot. If a person is able to suffer a little bit in life, he'll be able afterwards to have a lot of enjoyment. When my wife was pregnant, I have 12 children. She had a lot of trials and tribulations. I had a lot of problems to go learn with all these children. But Baruch Hashem, I went through that. I now have grandchildren. My parents are going to come to the States now to see more than 25 great-grandchildren. They don't even know. I myself don't even know the names of my grandchildren. There's so many. But this is a Baruch. This is a Yeshua. This is Amtoke. This whole story we're learning now, the Sipurim Maaseiot, you should say, what's the story about? This king throwing arrows at the princess with poison on it. That's only the first part of the story. The last part of the story is that the tzaddik is able to throw another time arrows at this Bas Malka and take out all of the arrows that were thrown into her, cure her entirely. This is the koach, the power of the tzaddik emes. He's able to go inside every Jewish soul and heal him entirely. You have to have a little patience. Hamtid, it's written in Torah, Vavin Lakuti Moran, this is actually a Torah for Rosh Hashanah. That's talking about the, but it's applicable to any time. We'll see. I hope in the next few days I'm going to give a drush on Shabbos Godol. The Indian, it's written in a midrash before Rosh and Shabbos Godol. It's a zgula de nechuvah and Shabbos Godol. So all the before Shem ask, what is it after the nechuvah and Shabbos Godol? Shabbos Godol is before Pesach, you have to say the God or whatever. The whole Agada, the whole Yitzis Mitzrayim is to be chozer b'tshuvah. It's to take out all these arrows were shot onto us. You have to eat more at the beginning of the Seder. But wait a little bit. Wait a few minutes. Right after the Mor, you eat a hilla sandwich, and you eat a big meal. And you can drink whatever you want in the meal. And usually, a Jew has the best food. I'm let a Seder, he's leaning over on his left side, and eating just like a king. You have to have someone else pour you the four cups of wine. Because you're a king, let's say. You'd have the best meal you have in the whole year. Wait a little bit after the morrow. In our story, the evil king pondered to what do with the princess until she finally fled from him. This corresponds to the episode of the Exodus, which was told to the king of Egypt that the people had fled. What happened at the Kriyas Yamsuf? Everyone told to Paro, the Jewish nation has left. What did Paro say? He took his army, set out to capture the Basmata. This corresponds to Paro harnessed his chariot and summoned his nation to go with him, overtook the children of Israel, camped by their sea. She fled into the water and went through all 10 water walls. This is the Kriyas Yamsuf. It's written in the before sheet that there were 10 strips. It was not one strip. It was 12 strips for every tribe. They went in there. And here in the story, we're talking about 10. The Israelis transferred the sea in peace. The children of Israel walked on the dry land in the midst of sea, whereas Pharaoh's troops who persuaded them drowned. The Israelis experienced the equivalent of 10 walls of water that allowed the entrance to the princess. The soldiers shot her and hit her with all 10 types of arrows. This corresponds to the episode when the angel of God traveled and went behind them. Rashi says that this is the Shekhinah, absorbed all the Egyptians' arrows and projectiles. It's written for Rashi and Rashi that the Shekhinah, the Anan, that was Mesobeh Kol Am Yisrael, and received all the arrows of the Egyptians that they were throwing at the Jews. Here we see also that the arrows were taken out of the Bas Malka. Even though this angel protected the Israelites that they might safely cross the sea, the Egyptians' missiles still struck and armed them, just as the evil king's poison arrows struck the princess. It is because the battle was raging so intensely that as the spiritual plane and below on the physical plane, Rashi explains, behold, Egypt was coming after them. They saw the Egyptian angel pursuing them and to assist the Egyptians. When the angel saw that Israel's fleet into the sea as it was split, and made a wall for them, he shot poison arrows and overpowered them. These poison represents the heresies of atheism and idolatry. That's written in the Pasuk. Israelites rebelled by the sea of reeds. Our sages explain that the Am Yisrael said, just as we came out safe on this side, so too the Egyptians who pursued us came safe on the other side. In keeping with the verse, trouble will pass through the sea. And even there was some measure of atheism among the Jewish people due to the arrows of Samach Mem that shot at them and resulted on them 10 tests. Here, you see, there's not only one Nisayon. In the Kriyas Yamsuf, it's written in the Midrash that they had 10 Nisayonot. They have tested me these 10 times. It's written in the Pasuk. So there were 10 Nisyonot. They tried God with these 10 tests as a result of being poisoned by the arrows. And when they were traversing the sea, which corresponded to 10 walls of water, it Till this day, we the Jewish people are still not healed from these arrows. Nevertheless, and this is what he says, all the diseases of the Jews today, they all come from the poison of the arrows that the Egyptians were throwing at the Jews, the exile. Sustain me with sweet cakes, heal me with apples, for I am lovesick. This is a pasuk in Shir. Sabchuni bachishus, rabduni b'tapuchim, ki koilis amoni. It's like we mentioned previously that there was a doctor who touched the pulse of the Baal Shem Tov and said, you're sick. And he said, you're right, I'm sick. So the Baal Shem Tov is talking about this pasuk here. Sabchuni bachishus, rabduni b'tapuchim, ki koilis amoni. The Baal Shem Tov loved the Shem so much, he even became sick on the Shem. Yedua holi, bechidus, mikaf regal ad rosh, ebo misum petza vechabura. Sometimes a person, through his previous gilguli, he was reincarnated so many times, that in this last reincarnation, we hope that this is our last reincarnation of all of us, when we come close to the tzaddik emes, we sometimes have to suffer a lot. Why? This is the end. This is the moror, the bitterest moror we're going to have now that we had in all of our previous reincarnations. Why? This is the test. You're going to run away from the Leva Center, or you're going to wait until you get the Suda after the moror. So every time a person has trials and tribulations, you should also know that this is a trial from Hashem, and he's going to be able to stay in there with it. Because Jewish people have to have a lot of this, you know. Melech David is a personification of the sovereignty of holiness. He, embodied of the princes, represents the collectivity of the Jewish souls. Lamentated, your hours pierced me. David HaMelech is Nishmat HaMashiach. There was no person, no Jew on this land who had so many problems as David HaMelech. His son wanted to become a melech in his days. So every Jew, we have to go through a lot. The question is, if we're going to have enough cough to stay there. God prepared the cure before the needs. Says Rav Nissen, don't worry about it. Even though you have a lot of diseases, there's also a cure for the disease. And this is Oz Yashir Moshe, Sharlo Nemar Eli Yoshir. In the end of days, Moshe and all the Jews are going to sing Ashir of Latilavo. This is ultimate song of redemption. All 10 types of melody is going to be in the last singing of Moshe when he comes back as Melech Mashiach. The Mashiach himself, there's no trick in the word Moshe. Moshe Hoya Hushiyeh. Moshe himself will come back to redeem us. Moshe himself. He's going to be a Gilgal of David HaMelech. He's going to be a Tzitzotz and a Tzitzahiba of Rav Nachman Mibreslev. Rav Nachman Mibreslev davened to the Shem that the Kodesh Baruch Hu promised him his descent will be the Mashiach. Rav Nachman said, and from me until the Mashiach there will be no Hadashot. There will be no great rabbi who will be able to redeem you until the Mashiach comes. The Mashiach himself will use all the Torahs of Rav Nachman in order to battle the Sitra Achra. What will be the final battle? It will only be a spiritual battle. The new song will be awakened. This is according to the verse, sing it to God, a new song. He performed wonders. His wonders correspond to the sun of wonders. But Rav Nachman teaches us a single, double, triple, quadruple. And this is talking about the Tikkun Klali, and also a shir that will be latinavo from the Mashiach. And that's why we say in the Sing of the Sea, Hashem Yimloch Be'olam HaBaim. This is the Loshon Atid. This will be the ultimate revelation of God's sovereignty, which is represented in our story by the healing of the princes, who represents the sovereignty of holiness. This will be latinavo. It could be this year. Can never tell. So the Ikar is to be the Simcha Chebbe B'Shleimus, the Kol HaOlamos, to be the joy and gladness in all the worlds, we have to come to the secret of the 10 types of melody, which are quiescent of joy.
Quintessential.
I don't know this word. God has reigned, that the world rejoice, that the heavens rejoice, and the earth delight, let them declare the Kodesh Baruch Hu Elokim. This is what we say on Erev Yom Kippur Katan. We say Hashem Elokim 7 times. This is the connection of the 7 malachim that were killed. And we say Shema Yisrael 1 time. This is connected to Keter. Shema Yisrael is the epitome of the Jewish people. There were people, there were children, who were taken over by the missionaire, the Catholics or whatever, the Christians in the church.
Yeah, was the church that took them out of the Jewish
Yeah, it
children.
Took them out of Jewish people. After the war, the Christians said, come take your children away. How do you know who they are? So there was a very famous rabbi. He went inside.
They didn't want to give them away.
They forced them. I heard there was some Christians that didn't buy anything. So they convinced them to give you away, but how do you know who they are? So they went inside, the rabbi inside the there, and said, I'm going to make a test now. Right before they all go to sleep, all the children right now are half falling asleep or whatever, he shouted, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad! And the Jewish children were the ones who really. They even pronounce the name Shema or whatever. These are Jewish. Because the Shema Yisrael will never leave a Jew.
No, they shouted Mama, Mama, and ran to him.
Mama.
Okay,
Mama.
There's a YouTube video on it. And our daughters here during Yom HaShoah see the video.
I'll give you one more story before we conclude. There was a man, Yudalei Frank. He passed away right at Rosh Hashanah, right after Rosh Hashanah, Tzum de Gedalia passed away last year. It was a moil. He would do Bris Milah, and a lot of Jews, a lot of my sons and grandsons. It was a famous moil in Breslau. So he was once in the Dead Sea. He was in the Dead Sea. And he had sort of raft or something. He was lost in the Dead Sea. So he's shouting for the Shem. There's a post that says, take me out of the sea. I forget exactly what the pasuk goes. Shiana, whatever. Miraculously came a helicopter to save him. Where does this come from? This comes from the Nekuda Pinimis that a Jew, Yisrael, Abba Bishichata Yisrael, even the worst Jews. I heard that there was a plan. Where did Hitler have such a plan to kill so many Jews? He himself was a grandson of a Jew. And the Jews were giving him advice. The Jews, when they become damaged, they do the worst thing possible. But what? They could always come back to the Jews. One other story was, when the Baal Shem Tov passed away, he had a person who was a shamash. So he told the shamash, wherever someone tells you to come and tell stories about me, never refuse to go. So all of a sudden, Shimon, I think, his name was Shimon. But anyway, Shimon, they told him to come to Chutz La'aretz. There was some man there who would pay a lot of money.
It was a Mittelstadt, not the Baal Shem Tov. The city from Mittelstadt.
No, this I heard, but definitely about the Baal Shem Tov.
Okay.
But anyway, he came, he would pay money to listen to stories about the Baal Shem Tov. So he goes to this Jew. And he forgot the story. A long story. I want to make it very briefly now. But he went there on Shabbos, and the Lava Malka finally could say the story. So he said to this man, one time the Baal Shem Tov, there was a priest of the non-Jews, who made a decree to kill the Jews in the whole town. So the Baal Shem Tov said, I want to come and make I want to talk with this priest. So they made a meeting for him. They went inside some sort of room for 2-3 hours. They came out. They don't know what happened at that meeting. And anyway, he tied up the, he didn't make the decree. He abolished the decree against the Jewish people. So He was a priest of the non-Jews, the Christians. So the Shimon, who was the Shabbos of the Baal Shem Tov, was telling the story to this guy. He starts crying. Just crying, he could get out of the crying. What happened? What was revealed? He himself was this priest. And he became a non-Jew. He became a comer of the non-Jews, the highest level. He made a decree on his brother Jews. So he saw the power of the Baal Shem Tov that could go into the worst Jew and make him chozer b'tshuvah. This guy was now paying money for people to tell stories about the Baal Shem Tov, because he saw there's a Yad Elyona, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is banding the oil. This is what we say in Leila Seder. Not a malach, not a shaliach, the Kodesh Baruch Hu b'vad. Who you gallop down to Mitzrayim? This is the son of Ramak Breslin. There's a Torah in the Kuti Moran, I think it's Samech Vov, don't make a mistake. He says a person comes in the worst situation. He has a terrible situation. He wants to make himself a Christian or whatever, baptize himself. The worst situation that could be. If he would remember that he's a Jew, he's got a mitzvah of Yiddishkeit inside of him, then Rav Nachman says the Kodesh Baruch Hu himself comes to this guy and says, I want to help you. So you see the greatness of the Shem, where the person comes in the worst situation in his life, the worst trial and tribulation, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is waiting there for the person to chozer b'tshuvah. So we should know, when we're not in such a terrible situation, we can always really come close to the Shem. Just look at the Rebozi, at the little hints that the Shem wants to bring us close to the Shem. This is a time of Pesach to come really close to the Shem. In the next few days, we're going to give you a lesson on Shabbos Hagadol. Is the biggest Shabbos in the world. This is because it's the Shabbos right before Pesach. Where everything that we say every morning, we daven, Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim, Kiddush, everything is Zecher li Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is what's going to happen on Leil HaSeder. It's the only night of the year where there's a mitzvah that say you have to tell to your son. You have a son?
I'm a son in 20 years.
And a daughter?
Two daughters.
Are they going to be with you in Leil HaSeder?
Oh, yes.
So you tell them about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Where's your son?
I think L.A.
You haven't seen him?
No.
Call him up.
Right?
Now you can get the number. Really, you and his boy to do that. If you want your son to call you up, and you'll see he'll call you up by himself. Or you'll get his number. If you really want to. The person owed me money. I didn't know where he was. All of a sudden, I get a call from Shanghai. So your son, if you really want, will call you. Now it's very easy to get.
No, his stepson is here. We're trying to convince him and his wife.
Tell him to come to Leil HaSeder.
There's a book on the Mishnah Shadow, and it's sort of very much like it has a story.